It is a beautiful Monday morning.
Absolutely sensational.
I like him. He's aggressive. He gets in there.
But I do have one more point about Liverpool, though.
Honestly.
Absolutely stunningly beautiful.
Plazenac. Oh, jeez.
An absolute beautiful goal.
Welcome to the Trademate Sports Podcast.
Hi guys, this is Marius from Trademate Sports, and we are bringing you another episode of the Trademate Sports Podcast. With me, as always, I have Alex. How are you doing, Alex?
Good, mate. Still affected by the coronavirus, so we're still doing this from home.
Still affected or infected?
Let's hope it's the not the latter.
Yeah. All right, so today we figured that we would be going through the top 10 best strikers in the EPL right now. So this is going to be a fun episode and probably a lot of arguing and threats being made between me and Alex as we go to a heated discussion about who's the best strikers in the Premier League. But yeah, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm having a look at your number one now and I'm slightly offended.
You're slightly offended. All right, so I guess right now, the first step should be to sort of define a couple of like criteria. Like, what is a striker? That's the philosophical question that we need to determine first. Because in my view, Mohamed Salah is very much a striker, despite Premier League fantasy football listing him as a midfielder. He usually plays the furthest upfield of any Liverpool player in the team, even though he starts out on the flank with Firmino in the center. He's usually the main man to score goals and everything, and being the furthest forward playing player on the Liverpool team. So for me, Salah's a striker. What do you think, mate?
I mean, I think he's a winger, but I understand your idea. But wouldn't Mane also be a striker too?
Yeah, so that's the edge case for me. And for me, Mane is a tricky one. I put him in midfield because he plays a bit further back. But I would find it, because if we were to rank like top 10 midfielders, I'd obviously go De Bruyne on top. And I think it's more fair to compare Salah to, let's say, Aguero than it is to compare him to De Bruyne, because they just play totally different roles in the teams, while it's much more similar versus Aguero. So that's sort of my reasoning.
Yeah, I guess my thought with this is that we could go top 10 strikers, top 10 wingers, top 10 central midfielders. I mean, even top 10 like central attacking midfielders, if you know what I mean. So, but yeah, I guess we can include Salah if you want to, mate. But I haven't included him in mine. Obviously, if I did, he'd probably be right at the top. But all right, let's just go with what we have anyway. We can.
Let's start off with that question though. Like, if you had him in your team, would you have him ahead of Aguero or would you have him behind Aguero?
No, I mean, at the end of the day, I just feel like Salah starts on the right, doesn't he? I mean, obviously he's not like a right midfielder. He's a right, I don't know, I feel like he's just, in terms of where he's positioned most of the time, he's going to be a right winger, although he pops up in the box more than Firmino. I get the argument for both, but I feel like, I don't know. I guess I just define a striker as someone that's always in the middle of the box and leading the line, basically.
Yeah.
So.
That's how football was played in the 90s. Things have changed.
Yeah, I know. But all right. Well, should we just go ahead with what we have and then we can debate from there?
Yeah, sure. That's fine.
All right. So we'll start with number 10. I have got the Everton striker in 10th place, Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, I think he's a great player, and he has really surprised me by how well he's developed this season and scoring a lot more goals than expected, really, really taking off after Ancelotti came in. It's also a bit surprising because he doesn't look that big, but he is so good in the air and scores a lot of headers.
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean he doesn't look? I feel like he looks like a beanpole, old Calvert-Lewin. He looks quite tall.
Let me check how tall he is, because I just don't feel he's very tall.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, I've got him in number 10. I just think, I'm trying to think of who my argument was for the next best case. Maybe someone like someone that I've left out is also like a Tammy Abraham. He's not in my top 10. So he was probably a decent case to come in at 10. I just think I don't know, maybe that is a bit harsh, because the way I'm thinking, I'm probably just going off a bit of recency bias there, aren't I? Because Tammy Abraham dominated the start of the season, whereas Calvert-Lewin's dominating the latter part. So, yeah, that's probably just a bit of recency bias. So maybe you could throw in Tammy Abraham there too for me, for number 10, just to whoever's in the best form at the moment.
Yeah, but yeah, I very much like Calvert-Lewin. Like, he's also fast, which you just have to be these days as a striker.
Yeah.
And now I'm just Googling a bit of player heights, because I just want to make some comparisons there. And this may surprise you, but Calvert-Lewin is 187.
Yeah.
And Rashford, for example, is 185.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And Tammy Abraham is 191.
Yeah, he seems quite tall.
Yeah, so Calvert-Lewin isn't really tall. He's just very, very good in
187, that's 6 foot something, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it's pretty much exactly six. And I think I'm 6 foot one, and I'm 186. So it's like 1 centimeter taller than me. But in like a professional athlete kind of setting, I don't consider that to be tall. And most of the central defenders are like 190 and above. So he's going to be shorter than the majority of the central defenders, or at least like on par with the shorter central defenders.
Yeah.
So he's just, very, very good in the air, despite not being super tall, but reasonably tall.
Yeah. All right. Who have you got in number 10, mate?
Richarlison, which I guess is another kind of case, like you see a winger or whatever, because Calvert-Lewin is playing more up front for the Everton team. At the same time, they quite often line up in kind of like a 3-5-2 formation, playing two strikers up front. And overall, I just think Richarlison is like head and shoulders above Calvert-Lewin, like as an overall football player.
Yeah.
And that's why I have him in my list compared to Calvert-Lewin. He's getting more assists. Calvert-Lewin only has like one assist this season, while Richarlison has, let me just check. All right, so Richarlison has 3 assists. It's not like super tall, but I kind of feel like he's just a lot more dangerous, creating like a lot more chances overall. And he's not scored as many goals as Calvert-Lewin. He only has 10 goals. Calvert-Lewin has 13, and Calvert-Lewin is absolutely battering him in like expected goals. He has 14 compared to like 8.65.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm being a bit harsh on Calvert-Lewin, but I'd still have Richarlison up front ahead of him.
Yeah, I mean, I have him as a better player as Dominic Calvert-Lewin too. I just didn't really consider him a striker, but that's so you've got Danny Ings though in number 10.
Yeah, so I'll just sort of discount Salah now, even though I think, and then we sort of have like a 10 versus 10. Yeah, so I definitely have Danny Ings on my list.
So he's your number 9 now.
He's my number 9 now. He's got 15 goals this year, which is extremely impressive. He's not playing for the best team in the league either, with Southampton, or what, like 14th place or something. And I find it incredibly impressive what he's been able to do at that team. He still scored some goals when he was playing at Liverpool, but there you could kind of see that he was completely out of his depth on that level in terms of like overall play with the other like forward players in the team. So I think he's better suited to play for kind of like an underdog team like Southampton rather than playing for like a top six club. And then it's sort of a question again about like, how do you really judge a striker? Do you judge him based on who you would have in your team, or who you think is just like objectively the best at like scoring goals and like overall forward play? Because I wouldn't have Danny Ings in my team over any of the other people in the list, but I still feel he deserves a spot there because he scored 15 goals in the league this season.
Yeah, I mean, he's having a tremendous season, isn't he? He's not in my top 10, Danny Ings, but I mean, I can definitely see the argument for maybe taking out Calvert-Lewin, because I guess the only problem is he's only really performed. I'm not sure what his season stats are like previous to this, but this is definitely his breakout year. Whereas the ones that I've got above Danny Ings, I just think, or the ones that I have included instead of Danny Ings, I think they're just a bit more consistent and they performed over a lot further time, I guess. My number nine is actually Raul Jimenez from Wolves.
Yep.
I think he's absolutely quality. I was just thinking about it the other day, like in terms, let's just say Aubameyang goes from Arsenal or Lacazette, like who would, it's a difficult thing because in terms of finding a new striker or really any player, I think there needs to be something, like it's hard to work out whether you go for a player that's proven in the Premier League, that's been pretty decent, like a Jimenez, or do you go outside of Europe and risk, you know, getting a player in that scored way more goals but might not be suited to the Premier League? So I was thinking the other day, like, yeah, I mean, if Aubameyang, if he leaves Arsenal, do you go for someone like a Raul Jimenez who you can probably buy from Wolves for, I don't know, he'd still be very expensive, but he's proven in the Premier League he will score you goals. Or do you take a more, I don't know, I think it's a more riskier approach too, and go for a, someone like a Timo Werner or someone like that, who's going to cost a lot more, but he has scored a lot more goals. You know what I mean?
Yeah. At least in, I think Jimenez, he's like a proper like tank forward. He's just 188, was that what I had here? Yeah, 188 tall, so he's not the tallest, but he's a proper like tank of a forward because he's big and muscled and everything too. And he's surprisingly fast for like a man of his overall size, yeah. I think. And that's what sort of surprised me the most, because he kind of looks just like a regular target man, but he actually has pretty good pace in addition. And he's been scoring goals very regularly now for 2 years in the Premier League. He's up to 13 this season. He also gets assists. He's just like overall a very, very good footballer. And in terms of like buying him, he's sort of the case kind of player that I think is extremely good, but I would never buy him at this stage, because I don't think that if you want to buy him, you'd probably be looking at, I don't know, at least like 50 million,
yeah,
possibly more. And he's 28, he's turning 29 in May, and then you're looking at, I don't know, like 2 years maybe of peak, and then very little resale value. So I would definitely more look to someone like Timo Werner at like 24 if I were Arsenal, rather than buying Jimenez. I think this is exactly the sort of like short-term trap that a lot of clubs have fallen into, not thinking through things like, are we able to sell him for any money in 2 years, or in the odd case that he doesn't work out?
Yeah.
Because overall, the difference in there's like a very big like transfer study that a Liverpool blog I follow made of like all the Premier League transfers throughout history, and like the difference between buying from the Premier League and buying from overseas in terms of success rate is like marginal. It was like 5 to 10% difference or something. So it's still kind of like, if whenever you buy a player, there's between a 40 to 50% chance that he's going to be a success or not. And whether or not he's in, he's being bought from like a Premier League club or from overseas, okay, it's still only a difference of like 5 to 10%.
Yeah, okay.
So you only like, yeah, marginally increase an already kind of like coin flip situation.
No, that's quite interesting. Yeah. I didn't realize Jimenez was that old. For some reason, I thought he was a lot younger. So yeah, I can definitely understand your argument then of going someone like a Werner over a Jimenez then, because Werner's, you know, 4 years in football in terms of age is huge. That's a contract.
Yeah, and Werner has the future in front of him. Jimenez is at his peak right now, and he's incredibly good. But yeah, as mentioned, I wouldn't buy him.
Yeah, no, it's a good point, mate. All right, number eight, what have you got?
I got Tammy Abraham. He was on fire in the beginning of the season, been struggling a bit with injuries ever since Christmas, hasn't been scoring as many goals, but he's still got 13 goals in like what's definitely been his breakthrough season for Chelsea. Still only 22, 191 tall, big proper tall striker. Still looks a bit skinny, so maybe if he adds a bit of muscle over the years, he'll be like a proper tank. He's also fast. I mean, to me, he's just a very complete forward. He can do it all, and he scores goals. And Chelsea are lucky to have him in his team, and it's good to see that they finally gave him a chance after tearing up the championship for a couple of seasons.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously had such an impressive start to the season, but he's kind of come unstuck in the last few months. Obviously, some of it is due to injury, and he's playing in a very tough position for a young player. I don't know. I'm looking at your list now, mate. And I'm looking at my list, and there's two people in my list that is not in yours, which I'm very interested about. So I've just highlighted them now. Gabriel Jesus, I've got him in my top 10, and also Lacazette, I've got him in my top 10. I'm very surprised that you have someone like a Tammy Abraham ahead of those two players.
Well, how on earth can you include Lacazette in your list? He's not even good enough to play for Arsenal this season. They're playing like teenagers ahead of him. He's got 7 goals in 20 games, so I guess that's okay compared to like how many games he's been playing. But still, like, he's 28, and I just don't get how you can include him in the list ahead of people who have performed.
Yeah, mate, it's mostly I'm going just off what he has produced in the past, and that he's just going through a really bad run of form right now. I know it has been a run of form that's probably, well, I wouldn't say it was the whole of the season, because he did struggle with injury at the start of the season. So, you know, the bad patch has basically gone from December to now. And I think before this run, he got Arsenal's player of the season last year, and it wasn't even really a debate. So I think he's just tremendously out of form at the moment. I guess I'm just basing this off the fact that, he will come good again, and that he is a quality striker. And he's proven that not only in the Premier League, but in Europe too, when he used to play for Lyon and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's the reason I've got Lacazette in there. And then Jesus, I mean, this is the one I'm really surprised about that you don't have in there. Because, I mean, the bloke's scoring goals. I mean, he might not be the most orthodox striker. Like, he does miss some seriously easy chances. But at the end of the day, he's banging in goals in the EPL. In the Champions League, he scored a hat-trick the other day against Dynamo Zagreb. Scored against Real Madrid too. So, I think he is, for me, I would take him a million times over Tammy Abraham at the moment.
Well, to me, let me just finish up with the Lacazette thing.
Yeah.
Last season, Lacazette scored 13 goals in 20 games as a starter, 8 as a substitute. I'd kind of argue that if you're not like starting, it's kind of your own fault. Maybe it's injuries, maybe it's whatever, but I think that also like counts. Like a player, if he's not fit enough to get on the pitch, then you sort of need to factor that in terms of like how good he is.
Yeah.
Aguero might be the only case where I'm willing to ignore that, because he's just overall so outstanding. But yeah, like I said, 13 goals only last season. The year before, 14 goals in 26 games, 6 substitute appearances. So it looks like even in a regular season, he's not going to start like every single game. And he's only been able to score 13 goals and 14 goals in like the Premier League.
Have you got his assist there too?
Yeah, I do. And let me just round that up. So Tammy Abraham right now has scored 13 goals in 25 games. So he's kind of ahead of Lacazette's, where Lacazette was at last season. Yeah, he got 8 assists.
Last year.
So that's pretty good. The first season he got 4 assists in the Premier League.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I mean, last year was his better season.
13 goals and 8 assists. Pretty good output, like, overall. I think that's good. I mean, he's creating goals for, like, other players too, and those capable of scoring goals themselves, so...
I think you have to factor in, too, that he's playing with Aubameyang. So, like, yeah. Aubameyang's going to steal goals from him, probably, so... A lot of last season they played with two strikers up front, so... with Lacazette and Aubameyang. So, and then, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if you included his European goals too, to see how many Lacazette got, because he definitely got lots of European goals, but that'd be something else to look into.
So in the Europa League, he got 5 goals.
Okay.
Last season in 8+2 games.
Yeah. Okay.
Scored. And I mean, I'm just gonna, because I mean, one thing is what he did. Like, he obviously was a great goal scorer for Lyon, tore up like Liga. But let's just see in like the Champions League, he got 1 goal, 2 goals, 2 goals, 1 goal in the Europa League, 1 goal in Champions League. So it's not like he's gone super crazy in the Champions League either. And I just want to have a look at Tammy Abraham's return in the Champions League, because I'm not sure how many goals he scored, and he's probably not scored a lot, but I do think he scored a couple, so I just want to have a look. Yeah, so Abraham's got 2 goals plus 1 assist in 6+1 game, so that's pretty much on par with with what Lacazette has done in Champions League in the past. So sorry mate, but you can have your list, but Lacazette is not getting into mine.
But what about Gabriel Jesus?
Gabriel Jesus, so that's another case. I kind of feel that for a player to be in my top 10 list ahead of players who have scored more goals than them, then they need to be the first choice striker of their club. And Jesus is another case of a player who is not good enough to be first choice striker. And a lot of the times they've also been playing, let's say, Raheem Sterling up front rather than playing Jesus, probably more true in the beginning of the season than now. His stats always look amazing, like his expected goals per 90 and things like that always look off the charts, but a lot of that is because he comes off as a substitute for usually then for a City team which is already like winning by 2 goals or whatever, and he scores 2 more goals to make it 4-0. That is actually like a real thing, that substitutes usually get like a performance boost in their stats compared to like people who play the full game. So for me, I'm just not as sure, like if Jesus was playing from the start every game, and leading the line, whether he'd be able to do quite as good, or he probably would be definitely performing at the same level he is now. The question is just, would he be like the number one in the top goal scorer list? And I don't think so. But he can prove me wrong, and he's still young and improving. So, yeah.
Can I ask you then, if you had the choice between having him, Gabriel Jesus, and Danny Ings in your Liverpool side, who would you pick?
Oh, then I would definitely, because that's the thing we were discussing a bit earlier, is that I would definitely have Jesus in my team, because I think he's like overall a better player than what Danny Ings is, and I think Danny Ings is too limited, but sort of his goal-scoring record and his importance for Southampton, he's basically the man who's kept them out of the relegation zone this year. Like, that's enough to get Danny Ings into my team, but I would definitely prefer having Gabriel Jesus playing for Liverpool than I would have Danny Ings back. So that's sort of... That's a matter of like how we sort of set the criteria and what we're prioritizing for. Yeah.
All right. So I don't know where we're up to now, but you've got number 8, Tammy Abraham. I had Jamie Vardy in number 8, who I'm also... Oh, no, you've got Jamie Vardy a bit further up. I've got Jamie Vardy in number 8. I mean, I'm looking at just my like bottom 5 of my top 10 now, and I feel like I could just make an argument for... You know, if you switch them all around and stuff like that, for them to be in any placing. But I guess the reason that I've got Vardy down there, probably a little bit of recency bias too in that, considering he hasn't had a great run of form ever since the start of the season. I don't know. I think he's a bit... Is he a bit one-dimensional, Vardy, would you say? Like, if the team's not playing in the way Leicester play... I guess at the start of the season, at least, when they're trying to find him space in behind and he uses his speed and stuff like that, then how useful is he? Like, imagine let's imagine Vardy in the Burnley team or something like that. He would be completely useless, I would say. So, yeah, I guess in terms of my rating for Jamie Vardy, it's mostly because I feel like he's only really effective with one kind of style of play.
Yeah, I mean, you have him in your eighth. I have him in my third. And this, again, comes sort of back to the... When I'm judging these players now for the top 10 list, it's kind of based on how they are performing within the environment that they are playing in. And there's just so few players that I would rate higher than the current top goal scorer in the Premier League with 19 goals and 4 assists. He's done it all in less minutes than Aubameyang. And I would still have Aubameyang in my team any day of the week, which is also why I have Aubameyang above Vardy in my list. But yeah, I can't ignore like him being the top goal scorer with like 19 goals in 26 games. I think that's an extraordinary record. And he's 33, so obviously I would never want to buy him for like pretty much any top six club, because you're just going to get like one, maybe two seasons out of it. This could be his last final good season. And once his pace is gone, I don't think there will be too much left. And he needs to play in the team, which is playing counter-attacking football. I don't think he would be good enough to play in a Liverpool a team trying to win every single game against teams which park the bus.
No, exactly.
So, yeah, he to me, he's too limited. But within his context, he's had an extraordinary season. And he's been so important to this Leicester team. And he's the top goal scorer in Premier League. So that's why I rate him so highly in my list. And next year, it's a very good chance he'll be totally out of the top 10.
Because my top 10 is kind of based around if Arsenal had a game tomorrow or if any team had a game tomorrow, who would be my striker. So I'm not like looking at someone like a Tammy Abraham or a Gabriel Jesus and going, all right, they're young, I'll have them in my team, thank you. But it's more so based around who I'd have in my team tomorrow. But so I had Vardy in 8, you've got Rashford in 7.
I do. And I think Rashford is an extraordinary player. I mean, if we are going to have the wingers versus strikers debate, then Rashford plays as a winger for United and Aubameyang has played as a winger this season for Arsenal. So
yeah, he kind of fluctuates though, doesn't he? Because Aubameyang does, I mean, not really to be honest at the moment, but sometimes Aubameyang does play in striker. But he is a striker.
Yeah. Yeah, is Salah a striker? Aubameyang a striker? I think they're pretty much the same.
Maybe I've kicked myself in the foot here. I don't know.
I think so. I think so. But we were discussing Rashford, and I think Rashford is by far the best player in the Manchester United team. Maybe people still think it's Bruno these days, but. Rashford is like the one player from Manchester United, which I would love to see playing for Liverpool. Obviously, it's never going to happen, but I think he's a fantastic player. And that foot of his is pretty extraordinary. He scores beautiful goals. He has a dribbling repertoire. He's got pace. He's got pretty much everything in his locker. The one reason that he is not higher up in my list is because he scores goals from penalties. And Manchester United get a lot of penalties. Strip away the penalties, and he's just way, way further down that list of strikers. And let's see how many goals he's actually scored this year. He's got 14 goals. And let me just try to figure out how many of them are penalties.
I've got Rashford in fifth place on my list, and that was mostly because I do think he's a quality striker, but I think especially this season he's been hampered by just a poor United team for the start of it, or at least like the first 6 months of this season. So I think I'd love to see his record for the past few seasons, because for such a young player I think he's played incredibly well for United.
All right, so Rashford has scored 5 goals from penalties in the Premier League season. He's also missed 2, which is just absolutely nuts how many penalties they get. But yeah, 5. So strip away those, and it's kind of like down to 9 goals. And it's still impressive because he did it all in like 22 games. And obviously, you can't discount penalties completely, but it's still like there are other players in the list which I rank above him because of that reason. But yeah, I really like him.
Yeah, I think he's quality. All right, let's go move ahead then. I had Lacazette in 7th. I had Gabriel Jesus in 6th. You have Jimenez in 6th, who we've already discussed. And then we move on to 5. I have Rashford in 5. But I'm really surprised with this pick. You've got Harry Kane down at number 5.
Harry Kane is done, mate. He's the next Wayne Rooney.
I hope he is.
His legs are gone.
You reckon?
His legs are gone. His ankles are broken. It's game over.
I think Harry Kane is the perfect example of a player that is just overused, or at least, I don't know if overused is, I'm not saying that in a negative way as if he's some useless player, but he plays way too much football. He never gets a break because, for one, at Tottenham, he's the best striker, and he's literally the only striker. Like, Son is better suited to playing in a winger kind of position, and he's one of England's best players, and he's the captain of England. So he always has to play, basically. So I think he's been managed so poorly, especially in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I very much agree. And I mean, I like Harry Kane as a player. He good overall player. He can score goals from pretty much anywhere, and he's got a very good shot. This year he's got only 11 goals, and let me just look at like what the scoring rate looks like, because he has got 11 goals in 20 games, 1785 minutes, so 0.4 expected goals per 90. Yeah, that didn't tell me the actual goals per 90.
Yeah, but, I mean, I guess I'm not judging him off his injuries. I mean, you can't really do this top 10 and think, okay, how's Harry Kane been playing the last year? I mean, that's like so harsh to go by because he's been injured the whole time. I'm going by peak Harry Kane, and when I'm watching Arsenal play and they're playing Tottenham and Harry Kane is about to shoot and he's in the box, I mean, I don't want to swear, but I am absolutely scared that he's about to score. So yeah. I think when I did my list, mate, I was debating whether he's the best or the second best. So I really rate him very highly. I rate him higher than Aubameyang. I think he's absolutely quality in terms of a poacher. And once he gets that opportunity to go and score, I back him every time to put the ball in the back of the net. And he's well-rounded too. He's very well-rounded. He can do everything.
Yeah, so for me, I mean, when looking at like his overall goals, he's got like a 29 goal season, a 30 goal season, then a drop off to only 17 goals last year, where he played a lot less games, only 27 plus one game last year, and that is sort of that's really the only reason why Harry Kane isn't further up in my team, is because for him, I'm kind of judging him on two metrics. Like, the season he's had where he's only scored 11 goals so far. And second, if I were to have him in my team, I think he could fit overall, like, playing-wise. He wouldn't be a perfect fit for, like, the Liverpool team that's currently playing because he's a bit too slow. So we'd probably need to change our play a bit. But the point is that he needs to be fit and on the pitch to play. And I don't trust that he is going to be able to play like 38 games a year. I think it looks like he's going to end up playing around 27, 28 games again this year, same as he did last year. And I think that's sort of what you will be able to get from him going forward too. And I'd always be reluctant to sort of have a striker leading my team who basically every single game, because then essentially you need to have a second choice striker, which is almost as good as the first one, because you know he's going to miss games, and when he's missing games, your team is going to drop points.
Yeah.
And for that reason, he doesn't make it as far up as me. I also just want to point out, in his last three Champions League seasons, he's got 7 goals in 7 games, 5 goals in 9 games, and then this year, 6 goals in 5 games. So he's been absolutely insane in the Champions League, almost scoring a goal per game. So that's very impressive.
Yeah, it's crazy. No, I guess the way, once again, I thought about it was, if I needed to assemble a team next week, I would, and Carrie Kane's 100% fit, then he would be my second choice striker. I mean, I'm even thinking about it now, just over the years as an Arsenal fan, watching him banging goals, maybe I should have had him in number one. But, mate, we can move on. We actually agree on something. We've got your mate, Bobby Firmino, in fourth place.
He doesn't score as many goals as a lot of the other players on this list, but oh, how much stuff he brings to the team he plays for.
Yeah.
And he's just overall such a fantastic footballer. And he's only got 8 goals this season. He's got 7 assists, so he's very, very high up in like the overall assist list. Actually, he's on a joint fourth spot with like, I don't know, 10 other players. Or it's a bit less, like 8 other players. But yeah, Firmino, just such a good player. And he scores goals in the Champions League too, and really just performs at any level. He just makes, I think what's, to sum him up, he makes the other players in the team play better because he's in the team, doing a lot of the dirty work. And he's also a pretty unique striker these days. You don't find many of his type around. He's definitely in my team.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. I think his quality, and if he was playing maybe a more traditional striker role, it would be interesting to see if we'd have him further up on our lists. And I think considering the strikers we have in the Premier League, we've both got him in fourth place. Like, I think that just says a lot about how good he is, considering he doesn't bang in as near as many goals as the other guys on our list.
Yeah, and I also want to highlight one thing, because now I just looked at expected goals, and he's actually second in expected goals in the Premier League this season to Mohamed Salah. So he scored 8 goals, and his expected goals is 15.49. So he's just underperforming massively. And so maybe bad. some of that is finishing has not been good enough, but
yeah.
Also a big part of it is just hitting the post and the shot going out instead of going in. So
he finally scored at Anfield last week, mate. So maybe this is that was the goal he needed to actually score goals at the place that he plays in most.
Yeah, so that's essentially it. He's been he's not been scoring at home and been scoring away. So half his goals have just been been sort of gone from the output. So yeah, I am very much back for Firmino.
Cool. All right, we can move on, mate. Third place, you've got Vardy, as you said before. In third place, I have Aubameyang. So the two people I've got ahead of him are Kane and Aguero. And you have Aubameyang in number two. So I guess the reason why I've got Aubameyang in third, I think he's absolutely quality. He's got just about everything going in terms of a striker, in terms of what you want. Like, if he pops up in the box, like, I've got so much faith that he's somehow going to finish it. And the thing that I've been most impressed with him lately is his aerial ability. Like, I'd be interested to see this season how many goals he scored from the head, because, yeah, mate, he's the positioning, that the ability that he has to position the ball in the most perfect spot of the goal, where it's literally unsavable by the goalkeeper, has been really impressive. Yeah. And it's something I think he's developed. I guess he's losing a bit of speed over the years, and it's something that he's developed in his game in the last year or so that I've been really impressed with. The reason why maybe I don't have him as number one or two is because he does struggle a bit when players are surrounding him. So I guess especially now that he's playing a lot of his football out on the wing, in terms of him like getting the ball on the wing and creating something out of nothing when he has players all around him, he does really struggle. So, and another thing that positive to him is that he's played for Arsenal the last three seasons. Probably the worst run an Arsenal team's been on the last three seasons in a long, long time. And he has a better goal scoring record than Thierry Henry, which is just, it's incredible. That's so cool. I think he's one goal away from getting 50 goals. I think he's on 49 goals in the Premier League right now. But I think he's got something like 5 or 6 or 7 games in hand in terms of where Thierry Henry was at this particular part in his career. And also in all competitions, I'm pretty sure, in all competitions, he's got more than 50 goals now, Aubameyang. But I'm pretty sure he beat Thierry Henry to that mark too by a decent margin. So his goal scoring record for Arsenal is superb considering that he's played in a terrible Arsenal side.
Yeah, that is a pretty good point. He has been top goal scorer last season, I guess, jointly so.
He got golden boot alongside Salah and Mane last year.
Yeah, and despite not playing in a team, which was anywhere near as good, if I'm allowed to say that.
No, mate, you go ahead.
So yeah, he is an incredible forward, and that's why I have him in second place, because for me, he is the sort of second best striker I'd have in the. I mean, obviously, I consider Salah as a striker, and I kind of feel that he's sort of the same player as Aubameyang, or at least they're natural to compare against each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, if Salah's out of the list, then I have Aubameyang second.
So I've got Kane in number 2, as I said before, and we both have agreed once again that Sergio Aguero is the best striker in the league.
Yeah, I consider him to be the best striker in Premier League history. And just because if you compare, I mean, there are strikers who have more goals, like Alan Shearer and a couple of others. But if you look at the number of goals per game or whatever, then Sergio Aguero is number one. And he's just head and shoulders above anyone else, really. And he's won so many titles and everything now. He's just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, well, the argument in terms of best ever strikers is probably between him and Thierry Henry. And I'm pretty sure Thierry Henry, I looked at these stats. This might have been about 2 years ago. And in terms of goals per game, Thierry Henry was 0.49 or 0.5 or something like that. And Aguero was like 0.6 or something like that. So, yeah, in terms of the amount of goals he scores per game, it's quite incredible. And yeah, he'll always go down in Premier League folklore, won't he, with that goal he scored against QPR in that last minute to win them the league. And that's kind of, I think, how he'll always be remembered, which is quite interesting because it's one moment. But if you look at his whole career, mate, he can definitely make the argument he's the best ever striker that's ever played in the Premier League. The only argument I think against him being number one is that, I don't know, is he starting to decline, do you think? I think a big sign of that is that Pep Guardiola is playing Gabriel Jesus a lot of the time above him in big games. So I'm wondering whether, I guess a lot of my criteria was based on if I, built a team tomorrow, who would I want to be the striker of that? And I did struggle to see why I would pick Aguero over some other players just because maybe he's not at his peak right now and maybe he is on the decline.
Well, I mean, I don't include him in my fantasy team every year because I always say, this is the year where Aguero is done. And he keeps defying that. But he's 31. He's going to turn 32. And with games like coming left, right and center and him having the injury record and everything that he has, sometimes there will be need to rotate him out and play Jesus instead. But if Manchester City were playing a Champions League final tomorrow, there's no doubt in my head, at least, that Aguero would start ahead of Jesus. if one is looking at the list of the most goals in Premier League history, Aguero is actually up in fourth place now. He's got 180 goals in 261 games. That's a ratio of 0.69 goals per game. Mm. So Shearer, who's on top, actually has a very good record. He has 260 goals, 441 games, and 0.59. And it's going to be very tough for Aguero to catch up with Shearer because, yeah, he played the first couple of seasons in his career in Argentina and Spain.
Yeah.
And Shearer just played in Premier League. But, he's going to be definitely in the top three by the time he hangs his boots up for Manchester City. And, yeah, for me, he will be the best then. And Henry actually has 0.68 goals per game. So he has a tremendous record overall.
Jeez. So I guess I've completely botched that statistic. Because nothing much has changed in the last 2 years.
Yeah, and Harry Kane has 0.68. So it is actually a pretty close race in terms of goals per game between those three. And, Henry is done. Aguero scored 5 goals more than him. Maybe Henry will have a better goals per game ratio than Aguero at the end if Aguero like keeps getting games but plays fewer minutes.
Yeah.
As time goes on, and I think if you compare like number of minutes, then Aguero would probably still outperform Henry by quite a bit, but here it's like per game, and I guess that's fair when it goes back to like the 90s or whatever. I'm not sure if they were tracking those stats back then.
No, he's a superb player, mate. I'd love to see where, if we did a, you know, top 10 in the world strikers, what we would rank Sergio Aguero and Aubameyang and Kane and stuff like that. It'd be quite interesting. But yeah, I guess that's it. I hope you guys enjoyed the top 10 strikers. Do you enjoy that, mate?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun talking about it, and also fun that we don't agree on everything, because that would be pretty boring.
Yeah, well, we can go over it. So I had Calvert-Lewin 10, Jimenez 9, Vardy 8, Lacazette 7, Jesus 6, Rashford 5, Firmino 4, Orba 3, Kane 2, and Sergio Aguero first.
And I have, if we consider Salah as a forward, he's number 1. And if not, it's Aguero 1, Aubameyang 2, Vardy 3, Firmino 4, Kane 5, Jimenez 6, Rashford 7, Abraham 8, Ings 9, Richarlison 10.
Nice. So it's a good bit of difference. It's a healthy bit of difference. But if you look at our top five, is like quite. It's I would say it's probably the same five players, or at least very close to it, with just a few swaps in positions. So, yeah, it's a tough debate to have at the end of the day, isn't it? You're probably not going to get anyone in the world that thinks the exact same.
Still fun.
Yeah. All right, mate. Cool.
So that's it for this week's episode. If you liked our top 10 list or very much disagree with us, then please comment below. If you liked it, then give us a thumbs up and subscribe to our channel. As always, make sure you check out TreyMate Sports. There is, despite everything happening in the world, still some games going around the world, keeping the number of trades in there. And it is still the best tool to use to beat the bookies.